But when researchers studied the effectiveness of these methods over prolonged periods, they discovered they were failures. Patients would use the stairs for a few weeks, but by the end of the month, it was too much hassle. They began diets and joined gyms, but after the initial burst of enthusiasm wore off, they slid back into their old eating and TV watching habits. Piling on so much change at once made it impossible for any of it to stick. Then, in 2009, a group of researchers funded by the National Institutes of Health published a study of a different approach to weight loss. They had assembled a group of 1,600 obese people and asked them to concentrate on writing down everything they ate at least one day per week. It was hard at first. The subjects forgot to carry their food journals or would snack and not note it. Slowly, however, people started recording their meals once a week, and sometimes more often. Many participants started keeping a daily food log. Eventually, it became a habit. Then something unexpected happened. The participants started looking at their entries and finding patterns they didn't know existed. Some noticed they always seemed to snack at about 10 a.m., so they began keeping an apple or banana on their desks for mid-morning munchies. Others started using their journals to plan future menus, and when dinner rolled around, they ate the healthy meal they had written down rather than junk food from the fridge. The researchers hadn't suggested any of these behaviors. They had simply asked everyone to write down what they ate once a week. But this keystone habit, food journaling, created a structure that helped other habits to flourish. 6 months into the study, people who kept daily food records had lost twice as much weight as everyone else. After a while, the journal got inside my head, one person told me. I started thinking about meals differently. It gave me a system for thinking about food without becoming depressed. Something similar happened at Alcoa after O'Neill took over. Just as food journals provided a structure for other habits to flourish, O'Neill's safety habits created an atmosphere in which other behaviors emerged. Early on, O'Neill took the unusual step of ordering Alcoa's offices around the world to link up in an electronic network. This was in the early 1980s, when large international networks weren't usually connected to people's desktop computers. O'Neill justified his order by arguing that it was essential to create a real-time safety data system that managers could use to share suggestions. As a result, Alcoa developed one of the first genuinely worldwide corporate email systems. O'Neill logged on every morning and sent messages to make sure everyone else was logged on as well. At first, people used the network primarily to discuss safety issues. Then, as email habits became more ingrained and comfortable, they started posting information on all kinds of other topics, such as local market conditions, sales quotas, and business problems. High-ranking executives were required to send in a report every Friday, which anyone in the company could read. A manager in Brazil used the network to send a colleague in New York data on changes in the price of steel. The New Yorker took that information and turned a quick profit for the company on Wall Street. Pretty soon, everyone was using the system to communicate about everything. I would send in my accident report, and I knew everyone else read it. So I figured, why not send pricing information or intelligence on other companies? One manager told me. It was like we had discovered a secret weapon. The competition couldn't figure out how we were doing it. When the web blossomed, Alcoa was perfectly positioned to take advantage. O'Neill's keystone habit, worker safety, had created a platform that encouraged another practice, email, years ahead of competitors.